The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Webb down the middle and intercepted and picked off on the play. Holman's got it. Kadar Holman, who's a rookie out of Toledo, picks it off, flag on the play. QT is back. And this drives him back, hit him, it's loose, it's free, it's a ball recovered by St. Brown at the one, a hang time of over 5 seconds. Joe Webb, they come from the side, rushed by Simon, that's intercepted, picked up on the play, grabbed by Sullivan, dancing his way inside the five, another turnover for Houston. The end zone, caught for a touchdown. Adams, the tight end from South Carolina.
Boy, Kevin Harlan sure seemed excited about a preseason game. Hey, let's see if we can last longer than Kiki QT today. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Mother Bleeping Friday.
Happy Friday.
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model. Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you are so inclined, you can watch us on Twitch. Just go to ESPN975.com and click on Watch Us on Twitch. Or if you already are on Twitch, just find ESPN 975. You get to see AJ's handsome face and then me.
Yeah, and you.
And it's a Friday, man. Let's have some fun today. Weekend is here. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports, stuff like that. What's going on with you, man?
The same. Little sports, little stuff.
The way it should be.
Yeah. I watched every minute of the preseason debacle last night.
Yeah. Not promising, but like we tell people all the time, it's preseason. Let's not.
Yeah, at no point during the season should you expect to see Joe Webb play four quarters.
Okay, but let's be honest. Did Joe Webb perform? I mean, was he performing like worse than you thought he would? Or I thought Joe Webb was okay at times.
I thought he was functional. I mean, they obviously scored enough to go over. Thank you for that. But I actually played that game last night. I played 50 on the under, and I played a hundo on the Packers minus one.
Okay.
So I wound up making a few bucks, which I've been rolling over into Saratoga today. But, there really wasn't anything to take from it. I mean, I all the things we talked about watching yesterday, the running backs kind of became meaningless once you trade for Duke Johnson. The offensive line guys looked okay. Other than Kiki QT breaking again, wasn't really much to take out of that game.
Not really. And that was disappointing to see, but not necessarily surprising.
Yeah, and the thing is, my first thought was, why is he still out there? And my second thought was, well, the guy probably does need some reps, and if he can't get through a half of a preseason game, you know what? Let's go ahead and break him now so you're not counting on him.
Yeah, I mean, would I prefer him? I mean, if that's a guy who's going to be a real part of your plan on offense, would I prefer to not see him on special teams? Yeah, but if that's who you planned on using, that's what you're getting him ready to do, that's going to be your guy? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think punt return's going to be in his future.
I don't think so going forward. I would hope not anyway.
But yeah, I think if he's going to get hurt. You might as well get him hurt now so that you don't count on him during the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he winds – and, yeah, I'm willing to give him 1 year because guys get hurt. That happens. And he was never hurt in college. But here you go again. I mean, Will Fuller version 2.0.
Yep.
So other than that, not much – there really wasn't much to take from that. And, you know, somebody says Matt Khalil was awful. Howard did okay at guard.
I don't think Matt Khalil was awful either.
No, he wasn't awful.
I mean, I didn't – there was a bad penalty. Yeah, there which –
Howard had a bad penalty.
He hasn't played in, let's keep in mind, he hasn't played football in over a year.
I don't think he looked physically overmatched. That's what I was looking for.
I don't either. So I think that what I did see, I don't know that Howard looked horrible. I didn't like the way Howard looked at tackle.
Yeah, he was, at guard, he was better.
He was fine. So I think what you're gonna see. I don't think that dude's playing tackle this year unless injury forces it in that direction. But yeah, I mean it was about what you expected. Honestly, it was nothing that I saw that was like, oh my god, what's happened here?
It was preseason.
It was preseason, and they were playing with a third string quarterback that they had probably hoped would never play quarterback during the regular season.
Right.
So. I don't think it's anything to panic about. But, I mean, obviously it wasn't anything to get excited about either.
Yeah, I mean, I try to take something out of these things just so I don't feel like I've wasted 3 hours of my life. I wasted 3 hours of my life.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can take out of that game. And the score is meaningless. The results are meaningless. All you really wanted to see is some of the guys who are actually going to have to play meaningful minutes this year do something. And you know what? For a first game, you know, Howard, if he's going to be your guard, he's got a lot to learn. But, hey, he was out there and showed me a little bit at least that, again, he wasn't getting pushed around. And that's kind of what you look for.
Yeah.
That's about it. Otherwise, that's all I got from that game.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's really not a lot to go crazy about. I mean,
yeah.
It looked like the first preseason game. I would have liked to see I would have liked to see Deshaun take a series. We talked about that on the show yesterday. Like, would I have liked to seen him play a series? Sure. Was it the end of the world that he didn't? Nope. So they decided it was safer to err on the side of caution. And
yeah, and that's fine.
I honestly can't blame him for it.
I have no problem with that. If I don't see him at all, I'll be okay.
Yep.
If I don't see JJ at all, I'll be fine. Or DeAndre or Kiki QT version 1.0 and Will Fuller. I don't need to see those guys. But in Fuller's case, it's kind of the same thing. You'd like him to play some snaps and just not break.
That's the problem is you've got this thing where you're in a position with guys like Will Fuller and QT who obviously you think that they're important to what your game plan is. You know,
well, I mean, I think we'd all agree if those guys are healthy, you're a different team. But
so with Fuller, I mean, you can say all you want. Oh, well, we know what he is. Dude's played. He started 30 games in his career in over three seasons. You don't like he's not.
Well,
he's not a six-year vet who you know exactly what you're going to get out of him. He doesn't know everything.
See, I agree with that to an extent, but when he and Watson have been on the field together, he's been a different player. But
that doesn't mean that he doesn't need...
Well, it doesn't mean he doesn't need practice, but right. I'm just saying, like, if you can get that out of him, I don't need him to get better. I just need him to stay on the damn field and do what he does when Watson's out there. That's it.
I heard John Granato this morning talking about this, and he was like, we already know what Kiki is. And it's like... That dude's got 28 receptions in his entire career. Did he have 11 in one game? Sure, that's cool. In a game that they got blown out of the water in.
Well, I think in both guys' cases, we know what they can be. I think we know what they can be.
But we also can't look at Kiki Kuti as like a real veteran who doesn't need to be out there in the preseason. He's not that guy.
No, and I'm okay with him being out there. That's just like I was saying though. If you can't make it through that,
there's trouble.
Why am I counting on you?
Yeah,
and I do think that the Duke Johnson trade makes him a little less of a, boy, you really want this guy out there because you can play Johnson in the slot and he'll be fine. I mean, ideally, you want him healthy, but it just, that kind of sucked. And it also kind of sucked with Greg Mantz, but again, I think
That's a bummer. But again, where's Nick Martin? Well, I mean, so Greg Mantz, he had to be out there anyway, well, so it's not like he could not be out there.
Let me give you a positive. I might like Zach Fulton at center better than I like Nick Martin.
And he was, again,
last night, preseason, but he played pretty damn well at center.
Yeah, and, but I still think Mantz is still a valuable dude to that team.
Oh, yeah, because you don't want him hurt, but I mean, more about Nick Martin than I think Greg Mantz.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we just kind of plug Martin in at center and say, oh, this guy's going to be really good. And, you know, so far in his career, and if he was really the fifth best center in a four-team division last year, that's not a positive.
No.
But I liked how Fulton looked. I thought he looked a lot, almost more comfortable at center than he did guard. So I did watch an awful lot of offensive line play last night, which is, you know.
You know, I will say this. I think there's a controversy of brewing that we for the Texans that we saw last night is going to apparently be a storyline over the course of this training camp. And somebody who you probably would expect the team is going to be out in a numbers game. It's funny to think that the Texans are so deep at one position that there's going to be a deserving guy left off. But I think there's a position group where a good player is going to be let go by this team, maybe two. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Is that a
like that's a real live radio tease? Like
you just did something very professional.
Thank you.
Wow, I'm blown away. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And if you can't
get what you want, well, it's all because of me. This is the Blitz, on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my new friends out at Allstate Siding and Windows. They've got the end of summer sale going right now at Allstate Siding and Windows. And before fall gets here, you need to check that your windows are energy efficient. Because all summer long, guess what you've probably been doing? Letting money fly out your windows, your old raggedy windows. Save up to 40% on your energy bills with vinyl windows. 40%. Think about what your energy bill is and think about that bill that you get and you go, ugh. So high in the summer. Now imagine it's 40% less because you've got more efficient windows. That could happen. And they've got discounts available, senior citizen cash discounts, first responders and military discounts are available. They've got no payments for 2 years, guys. 25% off all window packages when you tell them that I sent you over there. Just tell them AJ sent you, no payments for 2 years, 25% off all your window packages. It's simple as that. Guys, when you want to invest, go with the best. Allstate Siding and Windows is the best. 832-204-1936 or go to allstatesidingandwindows.com. That's 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Happy Friday, Friday. Hope you guys are having a great one. And if you're not, just relax. We'll get you home in one piece, and you can have a great weekend. That seems to be the plan for everybody.
Yeah.
I want everybody to have the most awesome weekend ever.
That's a good idea.
Until next weekend.
Okay.
And then we'll just keep getting better and better and better and better, just like we keep doing with Sports Map and Page Views. Every week will be better than the next, the last. So
Did you see this? Oh, well, I'll get to that later. I did a radio tease. I need to professionally.
Well, you don't have to do it at the beginning of the segment if you got something else.
No, I was just wowed by did you see the Roy Hibbert news?
No.
Roy Hibbert is been hired by the 76ers as a player development coach. And he's 32 years old.
Jeez.
It seems like just a few years ago, that dude was like one of the best defensive players in the league, and he's just suddenly gone, vanished from the face of the earth of the NBA.
That is odd. I mean, he was there was a year there. He was in that conversation with Dwight Howard at one point when Howard was still good.
Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago.
He was never a great offensive player, and he was never going to turn into one. But, boy, you talk about a guy who just went from one of the better defensive bigs in the league to the next, like, I guess I hadn't really thought of him, but suddenly he's just, I'm a coach now. Like, I would think there's teams who he'd be an upgrade for them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Big guys especially go downhill fast.
I guess so. Okay. We talked before the break about the – and I don't – trust me. I don't think there's a lot of position groups. I don't think there's a lot of battles where there's going to be a really good player left off this team because the Texans just aren't – they're not deep. There's not a lot of positions where it's like, ooh, all these guys are deserving. All these guys are – I mean
– yeah, I think there's two position groups where they'll cut somebody that somebody else will want.
Is one of them safety?
No, I think not.
Is one of them punter?
I wasn't counting that as a position because
But kind of, right?
I think their interior defense, they're going to cut somebody that somebody else will want.
Well, DJ Reader is the best.
Stop. No, but they've got three or four guys there
that are
not great players, but they're NFL players.
Yeah.
And somebody will want one when they cut them, but that's not the one you're talking about, and I agree with you on the other one, too.
The other one's tight end, and the Texans have suddenly invested a lot in that tight end position.
A little too much, if you ask me.
And, you know, they used two draft picks 2 years ago on Jordan Thomas and Jordan Akins. Both of them had promising rookie seasons, promising enough that Ryan Griffin decided he didn't want to be in town anymore and left unceremoniously.
Well, he forced himself out by punching something.
Yeah. And then they bring in Darren Fells and Jarrell Adams this offseason, and then Kahale Waring they draft, which was a real head-scratcher to me.
Yeah.
Because this is a team that had a lot of needs.
Could have used another corner there. Could have used a running back there.
Right. It didn't seem – and right after him, guess who gets taken? A running back. It was a weird decision, and that guy hasn't been on the field. I don't know when he's going to be on the field.
If I guess 2020. I imagine he comes up with some injury and winds up being on IR all year.
And how much? I mean, you talk about what's Bill O'Brien's like his biggest beef with young guys. If you're not on the field, he just doesn't have time for it.
And you can see he's already giving him some of the Deontay Foreman treatment when they ask about the tight end group.
He doesn't mention it.
If you ask about him specifically, he's like. He'll say something to the effect of the guys on the field are doing really well. Yeah.
So it's kind of they're in a weird spot now because last night you're watching that game. You see, oh, Jarrell Adams scores a touchdown. Hey, that guy looked good.
Also dropped one.
That's true.
I mean, like about as easy a pass as you'll get.
When you think about Darren Fells and what his use is, Darren Fells is a guy who can allow you to can make your offensive line better because he's probably a better blocker than a lot of the guys on the offensive line are. Right? And
that's important.
For this team especially, it's extremely important. So you want him. I mean, obviously Thomas and Akins you've invested in. Jarrell Adams looks like he can play. And then Kahale Ware, I mean, you used a draft pick on this guy, so... are you going to carry five tight ends? Is that even feasible?
Not a chance.
So what happens?
I think you carry four.
But even that's excessive, right?
Right. And if Waring actually winds up playing, then Fells is your fourth guy and plays a lot, I think.
Because they're not – listen, if they can't cut Kahale Waring, he's a third-round pick.
No, I mean, but
IR thing is a real possibility. Like them just saying, he's too hurt to play this season. He's on the IR. And that way you don't lose him, but he's a zero for you this season. But they're in a really weird spot where they're super deep, but they also feel super average. Like, all those guys seem like they can play, but do any of them jump out at you as like, oh, yeah, this guy has really got it. Now, you can tell me all you want about the potential
right.
with some of these guys. And some of them do it physically. There's a lot of potential, sure, Waring included. But is there a guy on that team? I mean, Daniel Fells, as a blocker, is an established vet, a guy who's proven what his worth is. But beyond him, is there like a guy that you feel super comfortable is really a starting caliber NFL tight end?
I think they're all almost the same guy.
I think
they're
so
all pretty good.
Yeah.
They're all, I'll tell you what, I think they're above average players for the position. Not, but they're not really even great players or even moderately good players for the position. They're just a bunch of above average guys.
Well, in the case of Thomas,
and they're all the same guy.
In the case of Thomas and Akins and Waring, obviously, you're looking at the potential.
Right. It's their second
year. We think
year,
their potential is there
better.
That they're going to be better. I mean, I it's a weird situation what they're because obviously, like I said, I don't think you can. I don't think you can carry five guys.
And, oh, they won't. I see no way that they carry five. And somebody asked, does Gillespie take one of the tight end spots? No, he's going to take a running back spot if he makes a team.
See, and then, yeah, you've got a fullback, too. It's just there's a glut of these guys that are all kind of the same.
You'd like to be able to keep one less receiver, but they never stay healthy.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot. And, you know, you mentioned in the last break or in the last segment that, you know, Duke Johnson can maybe alleviate some of that. Like, he gives you some more flexibility because you can put him out there in the slot if you need to.
Yeah.
Because he's actually a better route runner than at least than some of the Texans we saw running routes last night. So, wow. he's a good enough player to do those things. But they're really in an odd spot where they're gonna end up cutting a tight end that will almost certainly be picked up and rostered, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. I think they will have a, in my opinion, I think one of their defensive tackles will get picked up by somebody. But that's it. I don't see any other cuts coming where a team's going to say, oh, dude, we got to get this guy.
Except punter.
Yeah, they'll cut a good punter. But again, let's we're talking real positions here. Nobody cares about punters.
Have some respect.
I have no respect for punters. And that's because I find them relatively useless. They're not hard to get a good one. That's why you never draft one, ever. Oh, well.
Mark says you can't move a tight end as a lineman. I mean, while they're good, Daniel Fells especially, is a really good blocker for a tight end. Are you playing Daniel Fells at right tackle? I can't imagine that's going to work out.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And they, like, even keeping four seems excessive because, like you just said, they're all kind of the same guy. And this roster isn't so loaded that you can just afford a luxury like, you know, like a fourth tight end.
Well, yeah. What are you going to do? See, this gets back to something that I've said many times and everybody ignores me. This is where you don't need a long snapper taking a spot on the roster.
They've got the best long snapper in the league.
Teach one of these guys how to long snap.
Yeah.
And then you can keep a fourth tight end. And they did that at one point when Weeks got hurt. I don't remember the tight end. It was under Kubiak. And he did a fine job.
Or the other option is don't carry a fullback.
Well, that too.
Because how many teams in the league are carrying a fullback?
Well,
two or three?
Yeah, and
not get by without him?
I still think that's a luxury. Your tight ends can play fullback for you.
If you need to, yeah.
Theoretically.
Figure it out.
So, a guy named Renee sent me a message. He says, can you give a shout out to my daughter, Bailey, for her first ever bet? His daughter bet on the Royals tonight. They're at the Paris in Vegas. I'm assuming so. I'm not going to ask because if not, that would make it awkward.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Bet on the Royals, huh?
Yeah, that's some degeneracy there, man.
Like your style.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We were talking about interior defensive linemen. I think all these guys are NFL players, and not all of them are making this roster. Now, they may not be good NFL players.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing as it is with the tight ends. I think they're solid players, and they're all kind of the same between DJ Reader and Angelo Blackson and Brandon Dunn and Carlos Watkins and Joel Heath. Like, one of those guys gets cut.
Yeah.
And I think any one of them could actually play.
Well, Johnny Dwight's probably going to get cut too, and he's a guy who I actually thought was going to be a nice player, and he actually looked pretty decent when he was on the field last night. He was a guy who played at Alabama, but wasn't even a starter at Alabama. But a lot of really good players aren't starters at Alabama,
right? So, and that's the thing. You can be a great player,
but that's a guy who's got some real physical gifts, yeah. And you know he probably won't make the team.
I bet he makes a practice squad.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. The one thing I wasn't crazy about how much I saw Johnson Batamosi out there playing corner. I think we know what he can do. Shouldn't we be trying to find out what, you know, the Xavier Crawfords can do and people like that a little more?
Yeah, I would have liked to see more of that, too.
I'm not worried about them sucking. It's a preseason game. Get them out there and get them some reps. And, you know, Batamosi's there for special teams and in an emergency. You don't really need him out there. He's a veteran. But the
guys like Deontay Burton and
Johnson played a lot.
Yeah, he played a lot. Jermaine Kelly. Those are the guys that I want to see. Xavier Crawford, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I'd like to see a little more of them. But maybe I will next Saturday when they play the Lions. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. There were a lot of games last night.
All the games.
Can we just talk about overreactions a little bit? I feel like I have to do this every year.
All right.
But if your quarterback goes out and plays one quarter and doesn't go 5 for 7 or 6 for 8, then it's probably not a good performance. I mean, you expect that, right? So like Sam Darnold going out and having a good opening drive, 4 or 5, 68 yards. Oh, it's going to be Sam Darnold's year.
Yeah.
No, an average quarterback can do that, I promise you.
I mean,
Daniel Jones went 5 for 5 for 67 yards. What you worry about is if you have a guy out with the starters and they struggle a little, like Marcus Mariota, for instance, going 4 of 8 for 28 yards.
Yeah.
Does it mean anything? No. No, because in a real game, he stays out there and maybe he hits his next 10 of 12. But the reality is there's people talking, oh, Kyler Murray looks great. Yeah, against a very vanilla defense, and he's supposed to look good. So, you know, we'll see. You can't really tell too much from these games. And young quarterbacks, you just want them to get out there and get reps. And if they do what some of those guys did, okay, good. That's a good step. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate. Oh, this guy's going to be great. Well, let's see. Let's see. There's a long way to go. And asking what position is the most difficult to get a read on due to the vanilla playbooks. I think anybody – I think really the only thing you can take that you can get a read on for me is linemen and how they match up physically. Because you can't really tell. I mean, a quarterback who goes out and does well in the preseason, that's great. He could be a 7-on-7 star. You know, you don't know. Running backs, it's kind of the same thing. Because if there's a hole and they get through it, great. To me, the games themselves don't mean a whole lot. And when Granato was out there at the practices, I think Granato picked up a lot more from the practices than any of us can pick up from the games, because you saw a lot of action with the ones versus the ones.
Yeah.
So... but no, there's not a whole lot you can get a read on. And how often have we seen some guy be a superstar in preseason and didn't even make the team? Like the first year of the Texans, they had a guy with 4 sacks in one game, didn't even make the team.
Well, there's one of those guys on Hard Knocks every year.
Yeah, yeah.
Charles James.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, they're always there.
So, I mean, that playing well there. And most coaches will tell you it's really what you do in practice. You can learn more from your practices than you can these games. But there are, you know, somebody has a breakout type game. Well, hell, Charles James, they threw in at running back at one point.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Just trying to get him on the field.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Edward said, should I not read into Haskins' performance then? He looked bad. Not yet, no.
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 He's a rookie who was a project to begin with, playing for the first time. Hmm. No, it's not a big deal.
So...
should I look into Kyler Murray looking like a child running out behind his offensive lineman onto the field. Is that something I should worry about, or is that going to change as the season goes on?
No, that's not going to change.
That's just that's what it is, huh?
Yeah, he's a Smurf.
It's so crazy.
He's a Smurf.
I part of me regrets getting blocked by Kyler Murray for calling him a small. But then I see him, and it's like, it's just true. I mean, I saw somebody tweet out that
so tiny
him running onto the field looked like a Make-A-Wish kid running onto the field, and that's what it looked like. It looked like a tiny kid running behind, like, you know those videos where like there's the kid who's got some sort of physical ailment that'll never allow him to play football, and he gets behind the offensive line and they run in slow motion and he gets all the blocks and then he scores the touchdown. Like that's what it looks like they're setting up for.
God, this is going to be so much fun.
Oh, man.
It's going to be so much fun to watch this. He is. And I know he's tiny, but oh, my. Maybe he'll unblock you.
I don't think so.
No.
Anybody? I don't care, though. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It just with preseason, they're going to push so hard for you to, you know, they're going to push so hard for you to pay attention and that these games mean something. They don't mean a damn thing.
They mean nothing.
And one thing that kind of irritated the snot out of me last night. Listen, I love Spencer Tillman doing college football. I think he's terrific at college football.
But
this is
go and say it.
I say the same thing year after year. This is not for him. Every player is awesome. You know, he throws so many cliches out there that my head explodes. And at one point last night, if he had said somebody had to hold his water one more time, I was going to punch the nearest creature. It's just so bad. And I mean, and I know that crew is there to promote the Texans in the season. They use that whole thing as basically a 3-hour marketing ploy, but to make it sound like this game means anything and just, it was so irritating to listen to.
Yeah.
I muted it finally midway through the third quarter. But at least he made it to the third quarter. And I want to make it clear.
I watched till halftime.
Yeah.
I listened on the way home and then.
Right, right.
I watched when I got home. And then halftime came and I got distracted. And I watched the second half on the DVR. With the fast forward switch,
yeah.
So I wasn't hearing a lot of the conversation.
That's good. So, yeah, it's a hard watch. That's all. But 713-780 ESPN. Somebody says you should make a burner Instagram account and get reconnected with Kyler. Kyler's biggest fan.
Nope, I'm out on it.
So. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780 ESPN is your number. So, did we get the temperature right on the water now, Aaron?
I don't know. I haven't tasted it yet.
It's cool, but not. You know, it needs to be a little cooler.
Okay.
But it's not ice. So there's that.
That's a good thing.
But it's drinkable. Least. And, you know, we want that Seaforce water out there for the people to see on the Twitch channel. So, it's drinkable now. It's just not frozen, but it's not really cool enough yet. So if we could.
So we need to dial it in some more. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Apparently it's on the lowest setting or the.
Well, and people have left it open, which I don't know if is intentional.
That won't overheat the engine at all. The engine.
There's an engine?
Yeah, there's an engine in it. It's a high-powered diesel engine.
Did you see this latest Antonio Brown story?
Boy, you know who's got to be sitting back and going, well, ain't my problem. That's the Steelers. I mean, the Raiders and Antonio Brown are, they're a match made in heaven. I mean, they're built for each other. They were made for each other.
Let's be honest, the Raiders are the new Bengals.
Maybe.
And they'll take anyone, and sometimes that works out, and sometimes not so much.
Listen, Antonio Brown's a great player. He is a mess. He's a pain in the ass. I can't say that I blame the Raiders for trying to go get him. You know what I mean? I get it. Yeah, I see that talent. I'm like, oh, it makes sense. But, boy, he is a difficult dude. And we're seeing, I mean, a great example of what's going on now. He says he's never going to play again unless they let him wear his old helmet that the NFL's already deemed unsafe. So,
I
NFL's dealing enough with these concussion things and lawsuits. Wah. Now they're like, well, I mean, we've already said out loud these helmets are safer, but we're going to let you wear the less safe helmet. That seems like the NFL legal team would probably advise against that.
Pretty much. I don't know, man. I feel like this guy's just a weird. I mean, he's been a weird for a long time. But there's a difference between diva. Oh, it looks like a dead little leaguer. Why are we watching Little League, by the way?
I don't know. By the way, I guess I've never really paid that close of attention to the Little League World Series. But like the what my kid plays, he's younger than these kids who are playing on TV.
Right.
But they play on longer bases and longer mounds, and they like in the Little League World Series, you can't lead off.
Yeah, that when I remember growing up in Little League, you couldn't.
I guess I didn't play in Little League. Like I didn't play in like that that brand of baseball.
Yeah, I that's what I grew up with until Legion Ball.
Because that's one of the fine balances in life that you learn as a baseball player when you're a kid. You've got to balance your own confidence in how far you can get off the base with your first base coach's confidence of how far you can get off the base with your actual athletic skill. And
at that level, you're also balancing in the fact that the pitcher could easily throw the ball away if he's coming over there.
True. But I was also like pretty, I think at that age, I was pretty convinced that I was fast. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, hindsight's 50-50, but I don't think I was fast. I don't think I've ever been like particularly super fast. I mean, I wasn't like slow, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a speedster, but I sure thought I was. I'd get those big honking leads, and you know, I can't imagine playing baseball where you're like slow pitch softball. You're not allowed to leave the base until, you know, the ball's in the catcher's mitt. That's weird.
That's what we grew up with. And
I didn't play that.
And it was later on when I started playing at higher levels and could lead off. That's
like what year was that? Like how old were you?
I want to say 14. Was so like up through 12, we didn't, because that was all Little League.
So when you get to high school, you're like, you've never led off before?
Well, no, I think I'm pretty sure I did when I was 14. I didn't play when I was 13 because I had an injury. But I can't remember the level the league was, but I think we could lead off then. And then, you know, I actually, many years ago when I was, before I kind of shot up, I was like my senior year of high school, I was 5'10 still. Mm-hmm. And weighed about 160, a little skinny thing. And
you weren't that skinny.
No, back then I was
like 6'3", 140.
Well, okay, that's just insane.
I'm talking about make a wish skinny.
Yeah. I look like Kyle Tucker.
But I mean, I actually could run back then, and I had a lot of stolen bases, but I never did it when I was in Little League because
you can't take a lead.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's a weird thing to me.
Yeah, that's one thing I miss is. Like there was a stretch my senior high school and my first year of college where I was on the track team. I was actually pretty fast, and then it just went away. Like within a year, And I mean, it wasn't like I put on a bunch of weight or anything. I was still playing basketball and stuff, but I went out on the track one day and tried to run it, and it was just wasn't even close.
Yeah.
So it's just weird how that happens, or how it happened. I mean, I guess when you're not really much of an athlete, that's what. Take it back, 936. So y'all are watching Little League World Series. Is Kyler pitching?
Come on. Jay Garcia says the games don't mean anything, but you feel for the play, like the Lions player that broke his leg. Yeah, Jermaine Kearse.
Yeah.
Who?
That sucks.
Boy, that's. I mean, it was like the very beginning of the game too, and looked like, you know, maybe it didn't look that bad. It was bad. It's a broken leg, busted up ankle. I mean, this is like their big free agent acquisition.
Yeah, it sucks. Well, and every year it happens in preseason. Somebody gets hurt.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate, but that doesn't mean you do need some preseason.
Of course.
And I firmly believe, and again,
and it was such a fluke.
Yeah.
Like a dude missed a tackle, and Kearse is blocking, and he misses a tackle and just rolls into him. I mean, it could have been nothing, but instead it broke his leg. So
yeah,
that's tough. And Kearse is a guy who had injuries last year, injuries in Seattle. Like he's always had that problem. But looked like he was going to. I thought he was going to help the Lions. I mean, obviously Kenny Golladay is going to be the man there. Marvin Jones, but he and Danny Amendola looked like the guys who were going to be battling for those, you know, the third set of catches, and don't have to worry about him anymore.
Yeah, well, hopefully you get through the preseason without a lot of injuries. And I know I talk about this a lot because the talk of the 18-game schedule and how the CFL does it with two preseason games and 18 regular season games. And the reality is the first few regular season games are almost like preseason because – yeah, with only two games and you've got to make your roster cuts, you're not getting a lot of game action.
No.
And I don't think, but I think four is too many. And I think they'll never do this, but two preseason games and 16 regular season games would be perfect. And yeah, the quality of play would.
You maybe know why they'll never do that?
Because it costs some money.
Because, yeah, they get. Because season ticket holders pay the same amount for the first preseason game as they do for the last home game.
They do, and then they give their tickets away to friends or whatever and don't go, and it doesn't matter, but they still have to pay for them.
It's still built into your cost.
And every team has this huge base of fans that are going to do that. I wonder at some point, and I think we see this with baseball attendance going down, as we make the games much more easy to watch at home, are you going to see – is this eventually going to become a problem with attendance? I think
probably
we're starting.
Not with the NFL.
Well, we've been saying that for years, but the NFL's not bulletproof anymore.
It's true.
And I mean, it's still the biggest league, but I also think they've done enough to piss people off over the last few years and changing the game and everything else. I'm not going to say they're bulletproof anymore. And in Washington, as a matter of fact, isn't filling its stadium now. I think you're starting to see some of that. You could throw out the whatever the Chargers do because that doesn't count.
Right.
But I don't think we're seeing it yet, but I don't think it's impossible.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Pro Dunk Hoops, produnkhoops.com. That's where you're going to get the best basketball goal in the whole wide world. And you could go to one of those big box stores and just buy one off the shelf and feel, you know, all right about it. Put it up yourself and it prop might be crooked, and if it's not crooked now, it'll be crooked first time your kid dunks on it, or after about 100 clangs off the iron, be hanging one way. You don't deal with that with hoops. They've got the thickest steel of any goal on the market, a tempered glass backboard that they guarantee if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they're going to replace it for free. It's got a rust armor finish. This thing is built to last. And they're going to set it up in your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable one. However you want the setup to go, they got you covered. And, of course, all their goals adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle, so your little guys can get out there and they can hoop it up as well. If you got a middle-aged kid, they can go out and dunk and just have fun. This is what kids want to do. Guys, make the right investment when you're getting a hoop for your kid. Get them outside. Get them playing. They don't want to play on that raggedy goal. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.